I just got a word for, I don't know if it's for the church, it's probably just for any Christian, or it's for me, probably more than anything, but I just wanted to share it, because I felt like it was definitely a corporate thing. In this shed that he sold and we had to clean out, it was full, and when I say full, I'm talking hundreds and hundreds, which what we started today, like half of it is at least half have you already gotten rid of, or I mean a good chunk, the molds, like there's a lot.
More than half.
Okay, so I don't even, there's no telling how many you started with.
There are thousands.
Okay, so he inherited this building. It was full of ceramic molds, and so like if you want to make pottery or whatever, and it's the molds for it. All kind, anything you can think of, there was a mold for it. It was crazy. But there was some other stuff in there too, and the thing about it that was frustrating for me was there was absolutely nothing wrong with any of those molds, except for the ones that we dropped from spiders. Those got messed up because it was fun and full of spiders, but there was nothing wrong with them. But our job today to help out was to throw them away. And I remember, and don't get me wrong, nothing against them that wasn't theirs. They inherited it. You know, it wasn't anything like that. He's tried for over a year to get rid of this stuff. He has found nobody to take it. Dad took a lot, but he's like, I'm done. So this was just what Dad didn't take. Anyways, he showed me the shelves and everything, and we're starting to throw everything away, and I just remember thinking, what a waste. And then even with other people, like, I heard it. Like, I don't know if you said it. I know Mom said it. I think Jessica said it. Just, it's like, man, what a waste. Like, this stuff, what a waste. And I hated to throw it away. But the thing I was thinking about later, as there was cobwebs everywhere, is, you know, the waste is when I walk in. And I see the stuff on the shelves that are perfectly good, that are perfectly fine, and they're covered in cobwebs. See, before they're thrown away, the waste is sitting on a shelf, not being used. So I can have a house full of things that I maybe intend on using one day. I can have a shed full of things, shelves, literally wall to wall, ceiling to floor, full of things that were good ideas, that were words I got at one time over my life, and I've placed them on the shelf, and I never used them. So the waste, as I was thinking about that, is, man, it's just instantly Jesus spoke, no, it's not a waste to throw them away. See, something new was starting. The waste was that they sat there and they never got used for whatever reason. Now, obviously, there were other circumstances, so I'm trying to be a little spiritual with that. The waste isn't when you look at somebody's life and you go, wow, a drug head, what a waste. Man, they're an alcoholic, what a waste. They're so lazy, what a waste of their life. They had so much potential, there's so much on their shelf, and now look, they're just throwing it away. Now, the waste is when those people are in our lives and we see those things sitting on the shelves and we do nothing about it and go in there and say, let me clear those cobwebs away for you. It's not a waste. Don't throw it away. You have good things on the shelf that are meant to be used. So for me, I was like, well, hey, I have plenty of things in my life, especially younger, that were said about me, or even just desires I had or wants I had or ideas I had that are like, no way, let's just put that on the top of the shelf. I'll find out later. Maybe. But see, and then I never, ever, ever use it. And that's the waste. The waste is when I have something completely valuable given to me and I never touch it. It benefits me not at all to have a shed full of valuable things and never use them. The only time they're valuable to me is when I instill them in my life and I put that value in my life. And I use it. I put my hands to it. I add it to my family or whatever, my work, my ideas. I can have all the stuff. I can have shelves full of stuff. The waste isn't in saying, okay, it's time for something new. Let's throw it in the trash. The waste was long ago when spiders started to get in there and cobwebs started to get in there. The waste was the minute it was put on the shelf and never taken down again. So I just encourage you guys and me, like I said, completely, I've been thinking about today, what has been in my life? What ideas have I had? What has come into my mind at some point? And I thought, man, that would be awesome, but I don't think I could ever do that. I'm just going to put that on the shelf or whatever that is for you. What is that somewhere on the shelf, that shed inside your heart, inside your mind? What is it that's sitting up there, not being used? The waste isn't that they throw it away. The waste is that we let cobwebs get there. Constantly encourage yourself and constantly encourage others that have things in their life. You guys are surrounded by people that are on drugs, and you see a lot. And alcoholics, we all are. We all see them every day, and most of the time we don't even realize it. Constantly encourage. Man, there's something shiny on your shelf. I encourage you to use it. I see something in you. I see something in you. Use this. I know this is what's going on right now, but you've placed something on the shelf that is of value. And you could chunk it one day, throw your life away, sure, or you can use it right now. But the minute I leave it and I never touch it again, that's the waste. That's it.
First of all, I want to say thank you for everyone that was able to help today. You know, I've been thinking about it a lot today. Well, even before today, honestly. But you know, today, watching all of you endure the elements, right? You know, when you sow a lot, saying S-O-W, not so, because I don't do that. When you sow a lot, and sometimes you don't necessarily get weary, but you wonder if God notices, right? Have you ever done that? Just wonder. And the Lord spoke to me today as I was watching you guys. He spoke several things, watching all of you work and sweat and dirty and wrestle with those giant spiders out there. The snakes. I don't know which was more dangerous, Rick with a gun with his arm in a sling or the snakes. I'm just saying. I kept thinking, what are they doing? Was that one thing? I feel like my family is in a time of reaping from some things. And you know, you don't sow to reap, right? You sow just because God puts things in your heart to do. You don't give just to get something back. That is against who God is, right? I actually was reminded the other day, Caleb found an old picture of a guy that Rick had was discipling at the time, and he was like, who is this guy and what is he doing next to a truck? And we were like, well, we bought that truck for him because he didn't have a way to get around. And I was reminded we sow and we forget sometimes, and that's good. And then we reap. So first of all, I want to say thank you for Jerry for being obedient and just allowing God to put that in y'all's heart. And then, of course, all you guys for helping is awesome. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And that's what you guys have been doing for us during this season. We could have completely melted under the burden of things, right? But you guys have lifted a burden. And you know, the whole building thing today, they leveled a cabin, riding cabin. You know, there's only a couple people that I would say that I can rest in their support for me. And of course, my husband is one. And what you did today was fulfill a desire of my husband for me. That's what you did for him today. Something that was in his heart to do for me. So you bore that and continue to bear that burden. But I also, one of the things that we prayed when we started this church, before we started this church, sitting in the living room, and we were discussing, I don't know if you guys remember, just discussing family. And we had heard a sermon, listened to it, I don't know how many times, just about family and what a family is and how we can't make it to our destiny. And you've heard us talk about this before. Without family and without people connected to us, and that there is a connection, that a church is not just somewhere where we come and we sit together to praise the Lord together and even receive a message together or even speak a message together, that is not church. Church is relationship. It is family. It is laying our lives down for one another and being an expression of love for one another. And that has been happening. We've seen it a lot out there for people that come into our house. We've seen that through the community meals and different things in the community that we've done. But this time it has been in the house. And it has been amazing to watch the support that you guys have had for us, and that's awesome. But coming together to do that, being an expression of love to each other, being family. And you know, sometimes I fight the whole, I don't want to inconvenience anyone. And even Rick was talking about, we were talking about emptying that shed in that building and getting things out and stuff. And he was like, well, how are we going to do that? We'll have to pay someone to do that. And I stopped him and like, we have friends and family that want to help us. And honestly, this is the first time in our lives where I can honestly say that it's not a burden to ask someone. That it is truly a relief to ask for help. Does that make sense? And I just want to say, thank you. I know that we're not through the journey and the process yet. But truly today and before today and in the future, y'all have been an expression of love to us. And that to me, we've succeeded. Family. It's hard. It's hard to cultivate in a body. Unfortunately, it's hard to cultivate among Christians. And it's here. So that's all I had to share. Love y'all.
I don't know if I can get through this. Just as Paul said, I want to say thank you to everybody who came today. You have no idea You have no idea how much it meant. I can't express how much it meant. It means. But, you know, I was just how God does with me, y'all know. So, the song popped in my head, and I haven't heard it in forever. I don't remember when, but it popped in my head, and the song is, "You Find Out Who Your Friends Are." And so I looked up the lyrics. Run your car off the side of the road. Get stuck in a ditch way out in the middle of nowhere. Get yourself in a bind. Lose the shirt off your back. Need a floor, need a couch, need a bus fare. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the cream is gonna rise. This is what you really didn't know. This is where truth don't lie. You find out who your friends are. Somebody is gonna, okay, this is a chorus, so pay attention here. This is really what I want to get over. I feel like God's saying, and what I want to convey. You find out who your friends are, somebody's going to drop everything, run out and crank their car, hit the gas and get there fast, never stop to think what's in it for me, or it's way too far. They just show up with their big old heart. You find out who your friends are. I didn't know the lyrics to that song. It just, that verse popped in my head. But I know it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Because through this, I've learned something. That in my head, you know, maybe I knew, but in my heart, you know, it's different. I don't think that there's a person in this room who has not done something. There's not that I know of. So I can say this safely, I believe. And I feel like I'm supposed to. You know, you find out who your friends are. People that drop everything and come. And through this time of being down and hurt and out of work and just stuff, whatever, it's really clear. So many say, if you need anything, call me. But the ones that just show up and do something, those that just send a check in the mail, those that just bring a meal, those that just do something. They don't ask or say, if you need anything, call me. Because you and I both know you're not going to. You know, none of us are. Or few of, very few. But the ones that just come up with it and do it, that's the real deal. So I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Because it impacted me in a very big way today and before today. Through all of this, we've seen God's hand move in such mighty ways, and so many people have done just that. They've given, they've done things, and God's provided through that for our needs, and we've seen Him take care of us and provide for us. And you got to understand, I've never been down. I've never been in this place. I've never been one that couldn't. I've always been able to find something to do, to figure it out, to make a way. So this is a big deal. But what I wanted to share with this, you find out who your friends are and those lyrics, and you can read more. I mean, I read all the lyrics before, but I didn't read all the lyrics tonight. In Mark chapter 2, I wanted to share this. This is where the paralytic, I'm just going to paraphrase. So Mark chapter 2, you can turn to that. Mark that in your Bible. Read that when you get home, please. What I want to share about that is this, and I'm just going to paraphrase. This is where the paralytic, where Jesus was coming into, I think, Capernaum, right, into the town, and a huge crowd gathered at this one house. And these four men, friends of this paralytic man, came. They couldn't get in the house, so they went up on the roof and tore the roof off of someone else's house, okay? And lowered the man down into the house where Jesus was. And Jesus healed the man. Those are friends. They jumped in their car. It's not too far. They dropped everything. All of those things fit. But what I want to bring out of that is this. Think about this. The times you see God do miracles, signs, and wonders, the times that you see God move are when we do things not expecting anything in return, just because we love, just because we're a true friend, whoever we are, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, just like these four men who tore off a roof and lowered him. Yeah. Lowered him in front of Jesus. But just like that, they did just that. But just think, all of the different times, I'm just going to mention a few. The woman who pressed through the crowd with the issue of blood. The blind Bartimaeus who cried out because he just knew. He couldn't see. He just knew Jesus was close. He was coming. He pressed, he pushed, he went. So there's something about just doing it, just going. We can doubt, we can have a good idea, like Jamie said, we can have molds, good ideas that can grow cobwebs and have spiders in them and sit on a shelf, or we can do something with it. Real friends do something with it. And you guys are real friends to us, more than you know. So what I want to encourage you with is this. Be that for more people in this city. And thank you for everything that you're doing, that you have done. But don't dismiss the gifts and callings of God. Don't put them on a shelf like mold, like Jamie said. Reach out. Go for it. Learn what your gifts and callings are. Use them. Don't waste them. Don't let them sit in a warehouse somewhere for somebody to throw in a pit. Because that's what we did. Had a big pit dug and threw them away. Because those molds make things over and over and over again. So when we use our gifts, guess what? It makes good things, friends, over and over and over again. That's the kingdom of heaven. Multiplication. So much more. We think we're just doing one thing. No, we're doing many things. So I just want to encourage you guys with that and stop there. I don't want to go too long. And say thank you from me too, from the bottom of my heart. As deep as I can go with a thank you. So if you guys would, just stand up. We'll pray. Jesus, we thank you tonight, God, for our friends and family here tonight. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for all that you have done and are doing and are going to do. God, I thank you for speaking to us. God, I thank you for speaking to every individual here tonight. And God, I pray that you surround others in this room with friends and people in their time of need and do things for them too. And God, I just thank you for all that you are doing and have done for this church and this body, the church being us, the people. And Father, I just ask you to bless and to encourage and to strengthen and to speak clearly gifts and callings and to encourage. God, if we already know, to encourage us to step out and do something with it and not let it, you know, get cobwebs on it. And if we don't know, God, I pray that you clearly speak. And that we would be like those four friends who were determined. Let that drop in our hearts now, Jesus. Let us be like the four friends who were determined that no matter what, if it takes ripping the roof off and lowering down the friend, or if it takes like blind Bartimaeus crying out, screaming, hollering, you know, yelling for Jesus and getting his attention, or like the woman with the issue of blood who pressed through a crowd. And there's other stories, but God, I just ask you to drop into our hearts and let us open our hearts to receive from you and choose to press, to fight, to believe, to step into the calling, to ask you, not another person or a man, but to ask you, Jesus, what did you call me to do? You know, I was in the children's room back there and I read on the board that scripture that says, I knew you in your mother's womb before I formed you. He knew you, he knew me. And the gifts of God and the callings of God, the word says, are irrevocable. He doesn't take them back. He doesn't go, oh, you're not using that. You haven't used that in years. I'm going to take it back. No. He doesn't do that. So let me encourage you with that. God bless you guys.